Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds impossible. Sounds like fun.
Are you ready for 30 minutes of mindful ideas, passionate stories, and a world of wisdom? Then you have tuned in to the right time. I'm your host, Danae Vaughn, the networking queen, and you're listening to Only 3 Degree, where business meets success. And today, I will introduce you to someone else you need to know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, I have goosebumps already. And we haven't even started the show yet. This is Danae Vaughn, the networking queen, your host of Only 3 Degrees, right here on another thriving Thursday. Can you believe that it is already February 17th, 2011? Valentine's Day has come and gone. The month of January has come and gone. We're halfway through February. That means we're nearing the end of first quarter. And as we're talking today and focusing on employment, finding a job, the job that you're in, getting a raise, desiring retirement, what is going to get you hired? But also, what can get you fired? My guest today has got the scoop. And not because she has created statistics. She has researched statistics. She has interviewed. She has a book coming out this year that is going to knock your socks off, bless your life, and be one of those books you're going to have on your shelf that you start circulating with your network of connections, because it is a must read, whether you are a boss, you have a boss, or you need a boss. Her upcoming book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, How to Advance Your Career and Have More Fun at Work, is going to be out later this year. But Colleen is also the author of Adopting Joy and co-authored a book with John Christensen, Jack Canfield, and Kim Blanchard that's titled The Masters of Success. And you know I love queens, and she's another one of them, but let me tell you, she's the queen of from trouble to turnaround. If that doesn't say it all, then visit her website, bouncebackhire.com. Colleen and I have been chatting in the green room before the launch of the show, and I have to tell you folks that my excitement and enthusiasm for today's show has continued to grow day after day this week. I was sharing with Colleen that a friend of mine called me a few days ago, actually I believe it was yesterday even, and stated he had found a job after months of being unemployed, his house being foreclosed on, and all sorts of issues going on in his life, only for his wife to get fired after, I believe it's nearly 20 years on the job where she was. His story is much like many Americans today, maybe even yours. And whether you are in a place of employment that you're desiring a raise, or maybe you're thinking this isn't where I'm supposed to be, I know there's something else out there, or maybe you've recently lost your job, today's story is going to give you hope. The information and statistics Colleen is going to share with you is just going to bless you immeasurably. The answer you've been seeking, it may be in today's show that you find them. So grab your pen and paper, tune in, listen in, and as you're online listening via Blog Talk Radio, pull up her website, bouncebackhire.com, so you can read more about Colleen and all the wonderful information she has to offer. Or if you're listening live via 646-915-9451, then when you're at a computer, then you can jump online and you can check it out as well. But right now, let's get on with the show. So Colleen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Danae. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I am just thrilled and excited that after months of planning, the day has finally come. Yay!
Yay!
Well, you have a ton of information to share, and I know that this is really something that you've put a lot of time, energy, effort, passion into, multiple interviews just to create this book. And as you're fine-tuning it and preparing for the launch, the enthusiasm and excitement is already building as more and more people are asking you to speak and for radio interviews and all these things. What is the buzz about?
Well, you know, I think part of it is I've been fortunate enough to get into the heads of or the minds of bosses and find out what they want to see from their employees and also find out their biggest pet peeves. I've been speaking for over 15 years in 48 states and 5 foreign countries, and I do a lot of leadership and a lot of management skills training, and it got to where for the past year or so, I would actually ask managers questions like, if I had a group of employees here, what would you tell them are your top 10 biggest frustrations that they should avoid at all times? And so I would break them up into groups, and then we would share. I would put the results on a flip chart. With a huge green felt pen, I would literally put a check mark next to the pet peeves that came up over and over day in and day out. And I ended up interviewing over 200 managers as well as about 11 top executives, some CEOs as well.
Wow. Well, I know that perked up some ears as you stated those statistics and facts. And there's so much that we have discussed talking about, I'm like, there's 30 minutes. But I really feel as we were leading into the show that there is a need to talk about what employers are looking for so that people even have a chance to get in the door in the first place. So can we start off with some of that research and your findings and what you know to be true so that those listening actually can begin to fix their online reputation, so to speak, but also tweak what they're asking, how they're asking the resumes, anything else that's related based on the information you've been able to gather?
Sure. I'll start with one of the biggest things they have said to me, and some of this is common sense, but as you know, common sense isn't always commonly applied. Sometimes we know what to do. We just don't do with what we know. And one thing a lot of employers said to me is they want to know that you specifically want to work for their organization, not just any job will do. And so a lot of them do phone screenings where they'll say, oh, and by the way, if you have any questions, you know, come prepared with your questions, and you know, you're more than welcome to check out our website at, and they give the website. And they have said to me, including HR people that I interviewed, it's amazing how many people don't go to the website. And even if they're a well-known entity, they want to know that you went to the website, that you did the research. And another thing that's huge is enthusiasm, passion. They have said to me, I want to see that they're passionate and enthusiastic about the position they're interviewing for, because if they're not energized in the interview, they certainly won't be once they're on the job. So just off the top of my head, those are two things. And I think along those lines, I would say that every interviewer is thinking, how will hiring this person make me look good in the eyes of my peers? How will having this person on my team benefit me personally? And they want to know that you're a problem solver. And some of the questions they have told me they ask are specifically to see, is the applicant, even if they don't know, are they willing to guess and make the effort at what they think the answer is? So those are just a couple of things. I can certainly rattle off more, but I know those are a few that came up over and over.
Well, and one of the insights you shared with me as we were talking to you, we were chatting a little bit about social media. And I know many people tune into the show because they see the tweets and they see the posts on Facebook and the tags and whatnot. So we know that the majority of listeners are on social media sites, and that's how they are knowing to tune in. It's also posted on iTunes with the free podcasts. So it's not like this whole concept of having a profile page or an account on a website is new. Will you share that story with our listeners that you're sharing with me in the green room, and also some of those startling statistics and insights that you have that prove that this gentleman isn't alone or in the silo, if you will, with what happened with him, that it actually recurs over and over and is becoming more and more popular.
Yes, I've had a lot of managers and HR people who have said that when they're thinking of hiring somebody, before they will hire them, they're now doing Google searches just to see what else they can find out about the person. And there was one particular manager who said, you know, Colleen, there was somebody I was ready to hire, seemed perfect for the job, presented himself well, great eye contact, mannerisms, the skill set, everything. And he thought, well, you know, I'll just go online. And he said that his Facebook profile page, the profile picture, it was of this gentleman shirtless. He said you could tell by the picture he was drunk, holding a beer can. And he said, you know, I don't care what people do on their own time. That's their prerogative. But he said, I question somebody's judgment, especially when this is their profile picture. And there's been similar stories by other managers, even some this week, who have said to me, same thing, I was ready to hire somebody, I went online, and they said in some of the pictures they were so scantily dressed or just, you know, pictures of themselves in bars, clearly partying and holding liquor bottles, and they said, you know, it's judgment. It's a judgment issue that's what they're posting online. And I've also had situations where, and this is number 6 in terms of bosses' biggest pet peeves, time spent on the internet when the employee is supposed to be working, but they're spending time talking with friends on Facebook. Or the big one I'm hearing about now, Danae, is bad-mouthing their current manager or coworkers by name on social media sites. And not only do the current employers see that, but certainly anybody who's thinking of hiring that person down the road, there's a history.
And it's tracked. Some people think, well, if I post it out there, then, you know, that was months ago. They're not going to find it. I got news for you. That's not the case. The pictures, as you said, it may not be your profile picture, but it may be a photo in your album or a photo that someone has tagged you in, a
yes.
post that you made months ago where you used vulgarity, so to speak, or you talked ill of someone, as you said. But even if you're in a place of current employment and it's not the best situation and you're applying elsewhere, if you're talking bad, like you said, about that current employer, then why is someone else going to want to hire you? Because you could turn around and do the same thing.
And that's exactly their thought. You know, if they've done this with other people, they're probably going to be doing the same thing with me. And so even if somebody's a high performer, you can automatically be labeled also high maintenance.
Yeah, wow. High performer / high maintenance. Which
yep.
do you want to hire?
And, you know, that brings
well,
me up to some others. Would you like to hear
yes.
some of the other key things just for anybody that might be interviewing? And I felt like this was interesting. A lot of managers have said to me that even though a lot of things are done now online, they will look to see how somebody is dressed when they come in to drop off the resume, because a lot of times people still want to drop by, or sometimes they'll come by to pick up an application. And a number of managers have said that they will have the front desk assistant in on it, and they'll say whoever comes by dropping off a resume, picking up an application, get their name and jot down your first impressions. How were they dressed? How did they treat you? If anybody was rude to you, I want to know about it, because that shows me that maybe they're going to brown nose me, but that's not really the real person. And I had a few managers who said, if somebody does come in, even though they're not scheduled for an interview, come get me, because I want to do an impromptu 1 or 2 minute interview just to see how this person is off the cuff. But I even had food and beverage managers who have said, even if I'm hiring somebody to work in a bar, I want to know that that person is professionally dressed, and not just on the interview, but when they come in to drop off an application. They said that's really important. You know, how do they look when they're not expecting an interview? Because their feeling is that's also a judgment interview, that surely they knew that they might run into me.
Well, and if you think about somebody zipping from one job on their lunch break, and maybe they are working somewhere right now that's just a quote-unquote filler, for instance. So mm-hmm. you show up and drop off your resume on a lunch break and you're in a work uniform, well, that's going to become something that's noted. So if you are applying for this higher level, so to speak, position, but you come in because you've just been at the gym or you're working at a fast food place because that was what you could get right now, yet you want to have a management position, ding, 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 I think the light bulb's going off for a few people going, man, I've been doing that on my lunch break and I haven't thought about it and no wonder I didn't get the call back. And I know you're aware of this, Colleen, but some of the listeners may not be. I used to work in HR at mm-hmm. a healthcare system. So there was over 6,000 employees. And as part of HR, you're in on those inside scoops, those tricks of the trade, those conversations and those discussions. And companies do have people planted, so to speak, to assist with those impressions to determine how far up the food chain you get in your interview process, or even if you get in the front door.
That's an excellent point, and I do remember you, Danae, saying that you had been in HR, so you kind of know what goes on behind the scenes, things that people might think are off the cuff, but they're really not. They want to see how you're going to react, and also when you were in HR, they probably did a lot of panel interviews. They're doing a lot of those now because, as you know, it's so tempting to want to hire in our own likeness. You know, it's so tempting to want to hire
right.
someone who is like you, and yet maybe you need somebody completely different for the job. And a lot of managers and HR people have said to me, we're now not just looking for who has the right skill set. It's not just high skill, it's high will. You know, who has the right attitude, who has the work ethic, and they're doing panel interviews because they want to get opinions from other people who are going to be working with them on the team to find out, what did you think of this person? Would you be able to work well with this applicant? And do you think they're going to fit in with the rest of the team? And also, some of them are purposely, like you'll have one interview with one person, and then a little bit later you'll go and interview with someone else, and then sometimes you'll interview with a third person. So it's not even all together that the whole panel is there. But sometimes employers will say, look, you know, if you are one of the finalists, we may want you to come in for a half a day and meet different people. And what they're doing is sometimes they will purposely ask the same question and then say, you know, here's the kind of person that I'm looking for. And they look to see, does the applicant tell them just what they want to hear? Are they giving different answers where they're inconsistent with the same question?
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Really good stuff.
So first impressions.
Go ahead.
Is really important. Oh, I was just going to say, so the kind of everything you and I have been talking about, a lot of it is not just experience and the right skill set, but the first impressions.
And let's talk a little bit, Colleen, about attitude, which I know when you speak, before groups, it's easy to get that across and to explain the different steps and the insights and information that you've gathered when you're training, because people are able to raise their hand, ask these questions, and even looking at nonverbals, it's easy to determine attitudes with people. So let's talk for a minute about the research you've done in terms of attitude versus skills.
Okay. Now, would this be related to the interview process, or would this be for people who are already in their job, and what are some important things they need to know?
Let's switch to currently employed attitudes, because I think
okay.
that when there's such a stress burden, so to speak, on the shoulders of, oh my goodness, do I have job security or not, that can affect attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think probably the first thing that I would say, and you know this having been in HR and doing corporate training yourself, is I always say for anybody who is a manager or a supervisor or a team leader, we're using the word attitude, but nowadays legally you don't want to use that with your employees because it's too subjective, nebulous, not specific enough. But aside from number one being what bosses really want to see, which is you show up on time, you start work on time, you don't have excessive absenteeism, because they're really looking at not only is the person showing up on time, but do they begin the work on time or are they a social butterfly? But what I would say the second and third biggest pet peeves, and these were huge, not just with the 200 managers I interviewed, but also with top executives and CEOs, and that is number two, negativity, the constant complainer, the person who has a lack of buy-in, and either they're just a chronic complainer or they complain and they want you, the manager, to come up with the solutions. And then almost tied in with number two was drama, the high drama employees, the gossips, the people who start the rumor mill, the people who talk about their personal lives all day, every day. So those were huge. And what managers had said to me is, it's how much of my time and energy is going into rehabilitating this person. And the other thing that they really look at is, as you know, these people can be like a cancer that spreads. If this attitude is allowed to go on, now it can impact the morale of the the other employees. And then number four was along the lines of attitude, somebody who's combative, challenging authority, not following the chain of command. The last thing managers want is someone going over their heads. And of course, it depends on the situation. The fifth biggest pet peeve, lying, especially on timesheets, but dishonesty in general. I like what Irma Bombeck once said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything.
That's a great quote. I think somebody's going to be tweeting that one, besides me.
Yep. And I think it applies to the interviews, too. Mark Twain said something similar, always tell the truth, that way you don't have to remember what you said.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And there's many people that are listening going, huh. Leave you speechless.
Yeah.
As you're
and
talking, I was laughing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's true for interviews, too. This almost goes without saying, but just, you know, certainly, please, people, don't pad your resume. You know, you may have some work gaps right now, but I think in these tough times, employers know that that might be the case. And just to remember, when you lie, you die, whether it's an interview or, you know, as you and I have been talking at work. And a big thing that managers tell me is excuses for why they're late, excuses for why they couldn't finish a report or they made a mistake. The phrase I kept hearing was excuses in general is a big pet peeve. And then certainly, as you and I have said, the time spent on the internet, texting under their desk. So
that's a great point. Well, I want to be sure, and since we've been on the air for a little bit now, give you an opportunity to share your contact information, and we're going to continue our conversation, but I want to interject real quick so those who've recently tuned in get that. So would you go ahead and share, Colleen, your website and however else you'd like for them to reach out and connect with you, and so that they could contact you about pre-ordering your upcoming book? That'd be fantastic.
Sure, Danae. The website is, as you mentioned, www.bouncebackhigher.com, and that's actually H-I-G-H-E-R, so bouncebackhigher.com. And the best way to contact me, there is a contact form on the website, or if you want to contact us, there's an 800 number, which is 1-800-323-0683, And you can call or email to pre-order the book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, How to Advance Your Career and Have More Fun at Work. And in the meantime, if anybody is interested in finding out more about, you know, how do we deal with these difficult people, or how do you deal with a difficult boss, we have a lot of articles. There's articles on the website. We have audio CDs that people can order as well, you know, Thriving in a Multi-Generational Workplace and so forth. So there's a lot of information that we've put on there to help people.
And links to your previous books as well.
Yes, absolutely. We have those.
Well, and as I was saying, previously, as we were talking, I was kind of giggling when you're talking about the drama and who's that cancer in the office. And the comical thing is that people would assume that if you're in HR, you wouldn't have those issues. That is not the case. I challenge you to find any office setting where there is not any type of drama. It just, you know, that just comes with put up four walls and throw more than one person in it, and there's going to be drama.
Yes.
But minimizing it and making sure that it's not you holding that flashlight in your own face, so to speak. But I think a book such as the one that you've got coming out is going to allow people to see if in these conversations and in these tips that you share, is this me? And ask yourself that question and hold that mirror up and realize that there may be some things that you need to change, you need to alter, you need to adjust, and there may be other areas where you grab the towel, wipe the sweat away, and go, whoosh, that's not me. Thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh, exactly. And I think the biggest surprise to me in conducting the findings was that even if somebody is, as you and I have talked about, a high performer, if a manager sees somebody as high maintenance, down the road, that could get them out the door, because even though, you know, technically you're really fired when it's something measurable, quantifiable, what will start to get you on the bad side of the manager is these high maintenance issues. It's almost like then they will look to find the things that are wrong with you from a measurable performance perspective. And on the flip side, some of the key things they want to see that get you in the good graces of your manager and can increase recognition, maybe even help you to get a raise or more of a raise, a phrase that I kept hearing was team player and can-do attitude. They want people who are willing to go above and beyond and people who get along. I've had so many managers who have said to me, Colleen, I feel like I'm running an adult daycare and I don't want to be everybody's babysitter and referee. And as you know, so many managers and supervisors, and your listeners will be able to relate to this, so many managers get promoted based on their hard skills. They get a promotion because they were doing a great job, and yet now many of those skills that got them promoted are not the skills they're going to use in managing people, especially if they have a difficult employee. So it's really important, and this is what I do a lot of training on, it's really important they've got to nip it in the bud with that person early on. Otherwise, the morale affects everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we were chatting about various topics for today's show, you said that the most popular topic you get, people ask you to speak on bosses' biggest frustrations, as well as why you should avoid them at all costs. No pun intended on the cost part, but that's the truth. And I think that is a growing topic, especially as we continue to watch the trends in the economy, downsizing, upsizing, right-sizing. I mean, it all comes down to somebody got fired, got the pink slip somewhere, you know, whatever buzz term it is nowadays. And there's a lot of content in your book that you have coming out, but in addition, just in speaking with you, and that's why I believe so many are seeking to have you as their guests on radio shows and to include you in articles and link with you and bring you into their companies to talk all those different things. It's because of the commitment to the research and just the integrity of the answers to the tough questions that you're sharing. So there is an opportunity for prosperity in all lives and all areas of life and overcoming all those frustrations. So I want to thank you for your commitment to writing this book and that passion that you did it with, but also having that need, seeing that need and being able to supply for it. So thank you, Colleen, for your upcoming book, and I'm so appreciative for being included and quoted in it. Yay!
Yes, I was just going to say,
a joy.
Thank you, Danae, for having me. You are in Chapter 4, Overcoming Procrastination, How to Overcome Procrastination and Press Past Your Fear. So you've given wonderful information that I think your listeners are really going to benefit from.
That was a fun, transparent conversation.
It sure was.
Questions, honest answers. Yes. Well, as we wrap up today's episode, Colleen, what closing thoughts, insights, and just encouragement do you have for our listeners? Because we do realize that some are unemployed or are in situations that they're not necessarily feeling like they're fulfilled. What would you like to share with them as we wrap up?
You know, I think probably what I would say is work doesn't have to be a four-letter word. We all have aspects of our jobs that we don't want to do, you know, and that's one of the reasons I had you talk about overcoming adversity and overcoming procrastination. And I think it's just, you know, just be kind to people, treat people with respect, and then even if you are, you know, involved in some aspects of your job that are maybe less pleasant, you know, at least you have fun with the people that you're working with. So work can be fun.
Absolutely. Well, folks, you heard it right from Colleen, who's done the research, contacted people speaking all over the place, not just within the borders of the U.S., but beyond. If you'd like to connect with her, be sure you go to bouncebackhire.com. And that's hire as an H-I-G-H-E-R, not to be confused with getting hired for a job, ha-ha. Bouncebackhire.com. Colleen is connected with me, surprise, on Facebook, so I'm happy to make that introduction there. You can also find her on MySpace, on Twitter, and all over the Internet. Just Google, if you'd like. Colleen, check out her blog, ColleenSpeaksBlog.com. And I hope that you will take the information she shared today, apply it to your own life, but also as you've written down notes from this, I know that there's someone you know who's going to need this today. So carry that notebook with you or piece of paper or whatever. Type it up if you need to and say, here's what I learned from Colleen today. But share it because you never know who you may help to get hired and hopefully for sure prevent someone from being fired. So as you share that knowledge, know that you're embarking wisdom upon someone else. And Colleen, I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom with the listeners of Only 3 Degrees today. Folks, thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode. I so appreciate your taking the last 30 minutes to listen, to connect with Colleen, and also to comment. Go to Facebook or Twitter and let me know what you thought of the show. Visit us at blogtalkradio.com/thenetworkingqueen and also on iTunes in the free podcast section. Go out and make it a great day. And remember, you are worth it. Bye for now.